I'm going to talk about mercy tonight. Let's talk about mercy for just a few minutes. Good to have our friends back tonight. Good to see you. And some that were here that are no longer here tonight, I'm glad they came. And some of them have to get back at certain times, I believe. But we're glad to have all of you. But I'm going to talk about mercy. Everybody say mercy.
Mercy.
Thank you, Jesus. When Jesus was, I'll go to Matthew first in the fifth chapter of Matthew. When Jesus was with the multitudes in his earthly ministry, he went up into a mountain and he started talking to his disciples, and he opened his mouth and he taught them and started saying some things concerning what he wanted them and us to learn. And I'm in the fifth chapter here, and verse number, I'll just read down to the verse. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And I'll stop right there for that portion of the reading. You may be seated, but I want to call your attention again to the verse that says, Blessed are the merciful. Verse number 7, Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And at a glance, just in lightly reading those words, you may think, in order to get mercy, you have to give out mercy. But the truth of the matter is, we're being instructed by the Lord to be merciful. But whether we're merciful or not merciful, we do not earn His mercy by being merciful, nor do we get left out of His mercy by not obeying Him and being merciful. Another way of saying this is, whether you're merciful or not, God will be merciful to you. And is merciful to you. How can I say such a thing? Well, let's go back here and look in Psalms, in the book of Psalms. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. And God is so good. I'm so delighted to be in church tonight. I look forward to being in church. Amen. Amen. I remember where I was. In Psalms. But I will find it. Amen. God is so good. 136 Psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Now, I may want to say a few things as I read these words. Let's go back to, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. We got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Where were you when God started blessing you? Where were you when you finally realized, you know, there's a God that I have not been living for. There's a God that I have not been trusting in. There's a God out there that people are talking about that I know very little about. Where were you when you were not going to church and you were not listening to any teaching concerning heaven or hell or anything about God? Where were you? You were out there somewhere where God was being merciful to you. Thank you, Jesus. He showed us mercy when we probably weren't doing anything to deserve his loving kindness and his mercy. I've noticed many times when people get established in the church for a while, they tend to, not all people, but some people, tend to expect more out of others than possibly they themselves experienced as they were coming to God. I've seen people say, why can't they just get it? Why don't they understand? Why don't they just line up? And I've actually seen church people try to make people live right. Blessed are the merciful. You know, God never forced me to do anything. God never forced me to do anything. But he gave me an invitation. He gave you an invitation. He gave all of us an invitation to come and enjoy his blessings. Even when we were not living right, the invitation came right to our mailbox, right into our hearts. The invitation from Almighty God said, I want you to come and dine at my house. I want you to come and enjoy my gifts and my blessings. I want you to come and get in on what God has got for all of his people who are living for him. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Thank you, Jesus. If for no other reason, we can give thanks unto God for being merciful to us, simply as we show mercy to others. What a wonderful way to thank the Lord for his mercy, for his goodness, for his kindness. Thank you, Jesus. He's so good. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods. Notice this first word, God, is spelled with capital G. That represents the true and living God. Recently, on one of our Saturday get-togethers, a man stood back here and said, do you believe there's only one God? And I said, yes, I do. And then he said, but what about Zeus? He's a god too. Well, Goose would have to be, or Zeus would have to be, Goose. Zeus would have to be a small g god. So would Baal. And any goddess and any Greek god or goddess or anything else that wants to call itself God or whatever you may have that you worship that you think of as a god, all other gods are small g gods. There is one God who has the capital G. And he is merciful. And he will let us go around with our small g gods. But we need to give thanks to him because he's that merciful. Thank you, Jesus. He's that merciful. Amen. Give thanks unto the God of gods. A lot of people are making gods out of a lot of things. They worship this and they worship that. Some worship family. Some worship automobiles. Some worship internet. They may not think they're worshiping, but anything that occupies so much of your time and your attention that keeps you from being able to have a relationship with God when otherwise you would, but you're too busy for God because you're interested in what you're doing more than you're interested in this God filled with mercy. That is a God, but it's a small g God. And we have a capital G God who knows what's going on, and yet he loves you anyhow. He knows you're bowing down to other gods when you are. He knows you're serving other gods when you're serving other gods. And he has commandments in his word, and he gives these commandments. And he's very strong in where he stands. He wants obedience from people. But when people are not living right, God has provided mercy. It's hard to explain how God operates. It's beyond our comprehension, but in our way of looking at it, it would be like a human being trying to make up his mind, I suppose. Just be glad that you're not God and your friends are not God, and especially that your enemies are not God. But see, God deals with God and God's purpose and what God wants. Some people don't even like to hear the word God because it's like they're so far from Him. It's like they feel that they're being slapped around a little bit. Especially if you say it several times. God, 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 God. But there's nothing more precious to talk about than this wonderful God who loves everybody. But if you would look at Him from a human understanding, what God has been through, if He were a man like you or I, He had to deal with being able to pour out His wrath and have mercy, to have judgment and mercy, to provide punishment for evildoers and a way of escape, to provide warnings and penalties, and say, whosoever will may come unto me. Amen. It took a lot of mercy. And there's not a human being on the face of the earth can have that kind of combination and come up with a good answer. To show wrath and mercy. Nobody could provide a place where mercy and truth, where mercy and judgment could meet. But God knew how to do it. God knew how to do it. You know what happened at an old rugged cross almost 2,000 years ago? Mercy was poured out. Mercy was poured out. Mercy was poured out. You know what Jesus was doing when He fed the multitudes? In that multitude, there were people that didn't believe in God. There were people that were not serving Him at all. There were people that didn't know anything about anything concerning God. They were just in the crowd wanting whatever was going to happen that would help them. God knew all the hearts. He knew where the hearts were. He knew exactly what was going on. But Jesus was there to provide mercy. You know who Jesus is? He is the express image of the person of Almighty God. He is the expression of all that God is. He is God speaking to humanity, telling us about love, mercy, and God's provision. Amen. Nobody else can be the express image of His person. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But then mercy comes a calling and says, and you are complete in Him. Who's that talking to? That's talking to anybody who will accept His invitation. I've met people who actually thought that they were unfit to enjoy the mercies of God. There's nothing anybody has ever done or could ever do that could ever cause God to not be able to show mercy. The fact that you can breathe is a merciful God allowing it to happen. The fact that we can live and go about our daily activities means there's a merciful God that's on the throne who's providing your ability to survive. It's God's mercy that keeps the sun doing what it's supposed to do. It's God's mercy that keeps the climates in check. It's God's mercy that causes the earth, causes the seasons, the rotation. It causes God's creation to do what God's creation does. Amen. It's God's mercy that's able to listen to the words of a foul-mouthed sinner and a lying person cursing and swearing and saying, I don't believe in God. Just say, you can still be my child. I want you. I want you to be mine. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. His mercy endureth. Forever. In other words, while you're not living right, He's enduring that. When you're not talking right, He's enduring that. When you're not thinking right, He's enduring that. When you're going the wrong direction, He's enduring that. When all your motives are wrong, He's enduring that. When you're a hypocrite, He's enduring that. When you're not living according to His instruction, His mercy endures forever. Why? Because He loves you. He loves you. This kind of love is hard to find. You can search the world over. It's difficult to find this kind of love. This is the unmerited favor of God. Nothing you have done or I have done has ever deserved what God is doing for us through His mercy. Hallelujah. Give thanks to Him, for His mercy endureth forever. Give thanks unto the Lord, capital L, the Lord of lords. Now, we have a landlord, but He's not a capital L, Lord. Give thanks to the capital L, Lord. There's one Lord. One faith. One baptism. The Bible is very clear concerning this. There's one Lord. Everybody say one Lord.
One Lord.
One faith.
One faith.
One baptism.
One baptism.
Hallelujah. So what we need to find out is who that Lord is and how to find that faith and what that one baptism is. Because if we do any kind of baptism that's not that one baptism, it is not the one baptism. That's why we need to make certain. You know, we hear a lot of people talking about, I want to go to heaven. I want to be saved. I want God to say, well done unto me. And yet, it seems like a vast multitude around this earth will accept traditional ideas concerning baptism, our faith, or even the Godhead. Anything that is so important that would cause God to say to the human race, especially His chosen ones, back in the days when the offspring of Abraham by the millions were walking and talking to God, walking with God and talking to God, they were being instructed, tell your children every day. Tell your families every day. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. When doubting Thomas stood and gazed at the scars in the hand of Jesus after He had been crucified and placed in a tomb, his doubt was taken away as he stood and looked upon this Savior who is merciful. And he said, my Lord and my God. When Saul of Tarsus had stood and guarded the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death, God was still merciful. Even though he was persecuting the people who believed in Jesus. Even though this man Saul wanted them all dead, wanted them all put away, and was against the Jesus name movement, God was merciful. And while this man still with authority on him to cause damage and harm to the people of God, while he was going about to do that once more, the merciful God shined a light upon him and even spoke to this man. And he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? The God of heaven asked a question to this man who was ruthless and being mean to Christians. Why are you persecuting me? The God of heaven, the Jehovah God that created all things. You read about the capital L-O-R-D in the Word of God. Go to your Greek lexicon. Go to the Hebrew's definitions of words. And you find out that the capital L-O-R-D is Jehovah Creator God. It's the Almighty God. It's the only wise God. The only God that there is who should be worshipped. And this man Saul on his road to Damascus, on his way to put some other Jesus name people away who were calling Jesus Lord, These people were calling Jesus Lord. They were saying, my Lord and my God. He is my Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Because they'd had an experience with God that included the mercy that God provided through Jesus. My Lord and my God. Oh, thank you, Lord, they would say. I praise you, my dear Lord. Oh, Lord, you've been good to me. Saul didn't like this because he felt like the Lord God Almighty was not anybody connected with this Jesus movement. Hallelujah. What a surprise he got. When the light shined, he said, who are you? Who are you, Lord? Capital L-O-R-D. He was asking the question, who are you, Creator? Who are you, Almighty God? Who are you, Maker of all things? Who are you that is talking to me right now? I want to know who this God is. And God spoke to him and said, I am Jesus. Look, I'm going to tell you, no matter who you are, no matter where you are in the world, you keep on trying to get this thing right until your God tells you He is Jesus. Any other God that will not tell you that He is Jesus is a small g God. Yeah. A lot of people are looking for other gods, but you need the one true God. There is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. God is merciful. He will let us establish churches. He will let us establish organized systems. He will let us go all through the centuries and build upon other people's ideas and ways of looking at things and read their books and their literature and base everything we know on what other people think about things. But when you really want to know God for yourself, no matter who you are or where you are, reach for that mercy that endures forever. And no matter who you've been serving and how you've been trying to serve Him, no matter what wrong direction you've gone, no matter which God that you thought was right, no matter how many gods you were serving, you'll find that His mercy is still able to bring you to that one faith, that one Lord, and that one baptism. Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks. If you're out there serving too many gods tonight, you need to give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. If you've been baptized incorrectly, give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. If you're in the wrong kind of faith and you're believing the wrong things, give thanks to the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. This God that Paul, who later saw, who later was called Paul, that responded when he said, who art thou, Lord? And said, I'm Jesus. It changed all of his theology, his whole way of looking at anything that had to do with God. Tradition has blinded the eyes of so many people who are trying to be Christians, by suggesting that there is equal power in three separate persons. It is impossible that God could ever be three persons. There is only one person of God, and He is His own person. God says, I will have no other God beside me. Beside me, there is no Savior. That's what God says. But people say, through the centuries, oh, but there are three co-equal, co-existent, co-eternal persons dwelling in an essence known as God. I'm going to tell you something. If there is an essence where the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost dwell in, whatever that essence is, that's God. People want to call it essence. Let me tell you what it is. It's spirit. God is a spirit. That's what the Word teaches. That's what Jesus teaches. That's what the apostles taught. That's what the prophets taught. God is a spirit. When you're talking to Father God, you're not talking to the first person of the Trinity. You're talking to the Almighty God who gave His Son His own salvation name. You're talking to the Spirit that is holy. The Bible says the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary, and she brought forth the only begotten Son of God and called His name Jesus. Why? Because the angel told her to. Told her, you call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And when Jesus grew up, He talked to His disciples, and He said, who do men say that I am? One of them answered, and He said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but My Father, which is in heaven. Now, those who cannot think spiritually need to thank God for the mercy that He extends to the carnal-minded. Because while you're thinking carnally, and you can only see the natural side of everything, you got a loving God that understands that you don't know anything about God, but He loves you anyhow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you can actually start serving God simply through obedience and then find out that since you obeyed Him, not understanding some things, what you did in obedience turns out to be the right thing because His Word instructed it. And even if you didn't understand it, stand by, because He starts talking to His children and He opens their understanding. Thank you, Jesus. Because He's merciful. He's merciful. Say, Pastor, what are you doing, denying the Trinity? Look, I'm going back before the word Trinity was invented. And I'm teaching what Jesus taught and what the apostles taught. I believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost as taught by Jesus Christ and His apostles. I don't believe the doctrines of men that tell me I have to believe in three equal powers, three equal authorities, three equal co-presences. There's only one God. There's only one Lord. There's only one Savior. And Jesus is not a second person. The fullness of the Godhead dwelleth in Him bodily. Jesus declared to John on the Isle of Patmos, I am the first and I am the last. I am Alpha. And I am Omega. And so Jesus is the first and Jesus is the last. And the Holy Ghost is the Father of Jesus. And there's no way that man's theology of the triune God will work in light of the Word of God. But when you know what Jesus taught, He said, God is a spirit and they that worship Him must. It was not a request. He was not saying, just do it if you want to. He wasn't just saying, doing it if you believe in it. He was saying, you must. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. God is a what? And they that worship Him must. They that worship Him must. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So anything that's not of truth is not worship. And anything that's not that spirit that is God is not truth. But when you can know God, Father God is spirit. The Son of God had no natural father. Thank you, Jesus. Because God wanted to manifest His presence in His only begotten Son. Supernaturally, a virgin conceived. Supernaturally, a virgin brought forth the only begotten Son of God. He grew up and He said to His disciples, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Hallelujah. He said, I and My Father are one. Thus, any teaching that says Father God and Son God are two needs to go back and say, thank God for His mercy. That He's enduring with me while I don't know beans about God. Because Jesus taught, I and My Father are three, two, one. Hallelujah. So if you're believing in Jesus as being second fiddle to God, thank Him for His mercy. And turn the corner here and believe God and let every man be a liar. Thank you, Jesus. Worship Him with me right now. Thank you, Jesus. But you know what? Look, we don't need to fight anybody. We don't need to be against anybody. If somebody believes in the Trinity being three persons in God, they need to be treated with mercy. Amen. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. For they shall obtain mercy. You didn't always understand God, and you may have been in this church for years. You may not understand Him now. In fact, I doubt that any of us really understand God. Praise God. But you may not have a true revelation of even what I'm speaking about tonight. This comes by revelation. God Himself reveals His own nature to people. Praise God. That's why we get together on Saturday and we feed all kinds of people. It doesn't matter if they're Buddhist, Muslim. It doesn't matter to us if they're atheists. It doesn't matter if they're Hindu, if they're into witchcraft, if they're into all kinds of black magic, voodoo. It doesn't matter. We're just glad to feed them. What are we doing when we do that? We're providing something that God has provided for us. God went out to the multitudes. When He saw the multitudes, He went up to a mountain and started talking to disciples. And He said, "Blessed are the merciful." Hallelujah. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For His mercy endureth forever. To Him, verse 4, to Him, everybody say Him, yeah. Not them. To Him, who alone, everybody say alone. Where did the other two go? To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. Thank you, Jesus. To Him, not them, that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him, not them, that stretched out the earth above the waters, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone is doing great wonders. To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which led His people through the wilderness, everybody say it with me, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him which smote kings, for His mercy endureth forever. And it goes on and on, and I'm going to go to the last verse. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. Let's thank Him right now. It didn't say give thanks to those gods of heaven. It said give thanks to the God who alone doeth great wonders. The one that said, "I am Jesus." And the one that came to this earth and He said, "When you've seen Me, you've seen the one that said that." Let's praise Him again. Hallelujah. Except you believe I am He said, you will die in your sins. He said, if you don't believe I am the one, that created all things alone, you will die in your sin. Now, if you're carnal minded or naturally minded, just thinking naturally, you won't get this. You won't see this. It's all right if you don't, because we have the mercy of God that endures you not seeing this. And thus, you've got the people of God who also endure and understand, and you can still eat with us on Saturday. And you can still come to church here, and you can praise God. And if you never see it, we'll keep on seeing it, hoping you will. But if you don't, we're going to love you anyhow. And we're going to worship God. We're going to praise the Lord. And whatever you do see, we thank God you see what you see. And what you don't see that's in the Word of God, we thank God for His mercy. We thank God for His mercy. For His mercy endureth forever. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I'll try to stop here shortly. Almost through. Amen. So the Word says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. In the natural thinking mind, that's God and His Son that makes two. But in the revelation of Jesus Christ, we find out that the Spirit of God was in His only begotten Son. It wasn't an equal. Besides that, where's the equality? And two of three equal beings having a meeting and deciding that the second one of the group has to go down and die. If they're equal, there needed to be three of them hanging on the cross. In every way equal. But Jesus claimed, and if He was truthful, and I think He is, all power. Everybody say it. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. And look, whether you want to do it or not, there needs to come a time in your life when you acknowledge that He has all power in your life. It's not just that God Almighty, the Spirit that made everything, gave Him all power. You need to give Him all power. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. At the name of Jesus, one of the scriptures says, every knee shall bow. Let me tell you something. It says, every knee in heaven shall bow, and every knee on earth will bow. Every tongue in heaven will confess. Every tongue on earth will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And if that's going to give God the Father the glory, it only can mean that Jesus Christ the Lord is God the Father. How are you going to give God the Father glory by claiming that the second one is the first one? But since there ain't two of them, you're giving the Spirit glory by honoring the only begotten Son who manifested His power and His great glory and walked upon the sea showing, this is not just a man, this is God. He opened the blinded eyes showing, I'm not just a man, this is God doing this work. He set the captive free. He raised the dead. Only God could do such a miracle. And He said, this is mercy. Mercy coming to a fallen, cursed human race that God has destined to be lost forever, but provided mercy and said, whosoever will may come unto me. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship Him. Let's worship Him. So you may ask the question, why does this church baptize in Jesus' name? And sometimes you have to drive for hundreds of miles to find another one that does. Because almost all church assemblies leave out the name of Jesus in baptism. And when anybody dares to baptize in the name of Jesus, they mockingly say, those are Jesus-only people. I have no problem being called Jesus only. I would rather be called Jesus only than to be called one that believes in two other ones. But that Jesus only is a misrepresentation of what this is all about. Jesus is everything. The Father manifested His presence in Jesus, and Jesus said, when you have me in you, you have both the Father and the Son. That's in the Word of God. When you get the Holy Ghost, you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. When you're baptized in the name of Jesus, you are being baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you who's wrong. It's the ones that baptize and leave out the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved, acting like that's not important. Leave off the name. The titles are just as good. No way, Jose. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus, according to the Word of God. And if I were you, and I felt like I'm on my way to heaven, but I have a problem with the name of Jesus in baptism, no matter who it offends, no matter who don't like it, no matter how many years I've been trying to serve God, I would start thanking God for His mercy. And I'd submit my ways to God and say, Lord, I want Your name in every part of my life. I want to go down in that water. I know I went in the water before, but somehow I got a feeling I need to grab a hold of this name. Matthew 28:19 says, go into all the world teaching people that to be baptized in the name, singular name, of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If you thought Father was a name, if you thought Son was a name, if you thought Holy Ghost was a name, where did you go to school? This man is a father and a son and a husband. But when he goes to the bank, he signs his check, Bradley. Father's not a name. Husband's not his name. Son is not his name. Bradley is his name. But there's no salvation in the name of Bradley. But there is salvation in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And that name is
Jesus.
That's why Peter in Acts 2:38 told all people of all ages to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's all stand. Let me say this to you. If you have not repented, if you have not been baptized in Jesus' name, if you have not received the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the examples show in the Word of God, that's how they received it. Whatever God did for the original church, it's still for us today. God didn't change His mind. He's not a man that He should lie. He's God who knows what He's doing all the time. God never changes. And whatever He did for the church in the beginning, He wants it the same today. Hallelujah. If I were you, and I've been trying to serve Him, and I thought I was right, I just thank Him for His mercy and keep on serving Him. Keep on serving Him. Make those years count. Make that life of praising God count. Submission to truth, submission to God's way can cause God to do what He did for Saul. Make a Christian out of you. A lot of people call themselves Christian, but they won't obey God. But if you want to be a real Christian, be the kind that they were that you read about in the book of Acts. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. That Antioch church was baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. They preached and taught that you must repent, you must be baptized in Jesus' name. And when they received the Holy Ghost, they spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. And anybody that calls himself a Christian that doesn't do what that first Christian did, you're just using that word, but you need to go ahead and become a Christian. And while you're doing it, thank God for his mercy. Let's praise him again. Hallelujah. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord again. His mercy endures forever. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. His mercy endures forever. Take a moment right now to just respond to what you've heard. It might have challenged you, but it's right. It's in the book. Praise God. You can quarrel with it all you want to. God's still God, and you're not God. But if you want to be right with him, would you just talk to him right now? Would you just talk to him? Praise God. Humble yourself. Hallelujah. Thank him for his mercy. While you were yet a sinner, thinking you knew everything, he is having mercy. Give you a chance to sit in a service like this and hear the gospel preached to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your mercy, Lord, tonight. Thank you for your mercy enduring. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, right now for enduring with those that God think they're right and they're not. Hallelujah, who are resisting the truth as they've heard it tonight. Thank you for your mercy. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for those who are yielding themselves for the first time. Oh, yes, Lord. They're saying, I want more of this. Give me more. Hallelujah. Give me more. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your lovely name. Hallelujah. Amen. I welcome anyone who's willing tonight. All come. Let's come around the front. Let's call the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God.
That my shield can be sailing me.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just came filled with the Holy Ghost. It came filled with joy divine. Tell me, wouldn't you like to sail on a ship like mine?
Glory,
you can tell all. That my ship came in, sailing me.
Oh, bless
the
Lord.
Hallelujah. It came filled with the Holy Ghost. It came filled with joy divine. Tell me, wouldn't you like to sail on a ship like mine? You can say all of my dreams, that my ship
is
sailing me. Oh, yeah, it came filled with the Holy Ghost. It came filled with joy divine. Sail on a ship like mine. You can tell all my dreams.
While you're standing here in the mercy of God tonight, I know there are people here tonight who may be going through some things, and you may not understand why some of the battles you have to fight are having to be fought since you have decided to go to church, serve God, and worship him. There is an answer. What we're all experiencing. And many of us could give you a lot of details that we won't give, because a lot of things that have brought us to this point in life have been hidden under the blood of the old rugged cross, never to be remembered against us again. God walked away from it and brought us away from it and freed us from it through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, we've had people come here at times among us saying, "You've already got the Holy Ghost." It always happens when new people start coming, almost always, and I said this several weeks ago, and I've said it many times through the years, almost always, when new people start coming into the church, along with them comes somebody yielded to a spirit, thinking that spirit is God, listening to that spirit, saying, "You don't have to do this, you don't have to do that, this is just as good. Be satisfied with what you are. You don't need any more." But all of you need to ignore that voice. And if you know anybody that would spread that kind of word, just thank God for His mercy. And love that individual, because that is an antichrist spirit and an anti-truth spirit that wants to rob you from being able to do what we're doing 23 years later, still testifying, it's worth it. If you want to live a holy life, a consistent life, a life with victory that'll last you through the years, listen to the voice of God. Listen to the Word of God. And when you get the Holy Spirit, get the one that you read about in the Bible. Don't debate speaking in tongues. Just let it happen. If it's Bible, it's for you. Thank you, Jesus. If you hold yourself back, claiming you're saved without that, you may find yourself in a crisis calling on God saying, "What did I do wrong? What's going on here? My life's a wreck. Everything's falling apart." You need to thank God for His mercy. If you're being blessed, good things are happening to you right now, grab a hold of this Holy Ghost. Don't stop praying and praising God till you speak in other tongues. And just keep on letting it happen. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. When you do that, there ain't no devil's going to bother you. They'll be out of your life. And you'll wake up in the morning with knowledge of what to do. How to handle things. How to endure things. How to put up with things. How to get sin out of your life. Because God won't dwell in a temple where sin is being committed. But what He will do, if you'll submit all your ways unto Him, He'll come in and He'll throw the devil out. Because He's on your side. And you don't have the power to live for God without the Holy Ghost. And there is no Holy Ghost experience other than the one you read about in the Bible. It's for you. It's for your children. It's for all those who are afar off, even to as many as the Lord our God shall call. And those that sow discord need the Holy Ghost. And those that say, "You're all right without it," don't have it.